Judges chapter 14. Last week we looked at chapter 13 and the birth announcement of Samson and the angel coming, the miraculous offering, the promise of a Nazarite and God's blessing on him. And he's off to a good start. From chapter 13 to chapter 14, we don't have a time frame. Now, it tells us in the latter part of chapter 16 that he judged, I think it's 30 years. I haven't refreshed my memory on that. So Samson wasn't a fly-in guy and fly-out. He was there. He accomplished much, but so much in the Bible, we've only got droplets of an individual's life. Said this before, God is using your life and the circumstances of your life to tell his story to other people. That's what we find with Samson. When you come to chapter 14 tonight, we're going to go verses 1 through 9. We're going to find the first event to unfold about this mysterious love that Samson had. Let's start out in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to share your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would put life into the words that I speak, that you may be exalted and magnified. We thank you now for these people, for this church, the pastor. Father, we just pray that you just use us to the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Judges 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father nor his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. It just jumps in verse number 1, and Samson went down to Timnath. Now I want you to notice, first of all, and I'm kind of sticking close to my notes for memory's sake, I want to see the downward path. Now we start out with a very simple truth, and Samson went down to Timnath. And then look at verse number 2, and he came up. Now, we read that, we don't think much about it. When you're reading Old Testament scripture, when it talks about went down, just get this picture. That phrase in a picture is speaking of going away from God. Where did Jonah go when God called him? He went down to Joppa, and he went down to the ship. And he went down to the hold. He was moving away from God. Samson went down to Timnath. But in verse number 2, he went up. So if down is away from God, then up is moving toward God. So that's just a little tidbit that we're going to tie in with all of this other as we go. Notice, first of all, he went down. Now, in your notes, 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Where did he go? He went down. He he went down. So you see his decline. But then he tells us there in verse number 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her from me to wife. His downward path was a decline and moving away from the father, it seems. But then to them, to his father and mother, they said, is there never a woman of the children of Israel that you can find somebody that you've got to go to the Philistines? Now, at this point in time, they had taken control over part of the land of Israel, and they were under bondage and captive. And so, you know, we've all been there. When your children are growing up, you worry. Think about Leanne, the kids are gone. That first, when our kids start dating and when they leave home to go to college, you know, we're always worried about them. You know, Samson, really? Her? Is that the best you can do? So he's moving away, right? But then the destination, verse number 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, I was thinking about this morning as I was looking over notes. The pastor's so good, he gets on point, and he's focused, and he just leads you right there. Well, now, if you're going to listen to me, I'm going to tell you about squirrel. You know, here we go. Hang on. His destination. Where was the destination? The vineyards of Timnath. It's not a big problem, is it? What is Samson? Samson is a Nazarite. What was the command in chapter 13? Drink no wine. Now, give you this quickly. Numbers chapter 6, and I'm not going there. That's a footnote. Numbers chapter 6 gives you the ordinances and the history of the Nazarite. But I want to read you something that I've run across several years ago, and it's on the Nazarite vow. Now, let me ask you a question. Squirrel. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree. What was the fruit, or what was the tree? We don't know, but let me give you something to ponder about. Here's the article. The tree of God, or the tree of good and evil, could have been, I'm going to say could have been, and you can search it out, it could have been the grapevine. Yeah, I told you I was crazy. It is a picture of this, the grapevine, because it crawls upon the ground. Now, you say it's a vine. It tells us in Ezekiel and several other references, it calls it the vine tree. Ezekiel 15, and we won't have the time to go there, but it says, what good is a vine tree? You can't use the lumber to build a house. You can't even cut a stick out of it and make a peg to hang anything on. The only thing it's good for is fuel for the fire. And it's nothing more than killing it. There's nothing there. And he says, the Nazarite could not eat or drink grape products. The cutting of the hair shows his glory, and the root amongst the dead, and could not go against among the dead. They ate fruit. They lost their glory, and they lost the light of the glory of God. This is from a guy from Salem, Missouri. Run across that. But the tree of good and evil. Was it the vine tree? Stop and think about it. And preacher, don't let me get locked down here. It's so deep. You take the grapevine. Proverbs tells us that it's a mocker. It's a deceiver. It's a destroyer of character. It's a perverter of judgment. But then it also tells us that it's good for the medicine. Paul told Timothy, use a little wine for the stomach's sake. He said also that it's a good antidepressant. Give wine to him that is of a sorrowful heart. It is also a picture of joy in the word of God. So you've got that one product. Somebody that gets drunk, what does it do? It controls the character. Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because what is in you controls what you are. So Samson here goes to the vineyard. He goes down to Timnath there, and he begins to meet this woman, and he begins to lay forth. So this destination is not just a destination. Here you begin to see the first glimpse of Jesus Christ. For Jesus, who was the Son of God, went down to the vineyards, which is a place of a curse for the Nazarite, to love a woman who was of the pagans of that land. And so the picture begins to unfold. He had a downward path. He had a delightful woman. Notice, first of all, her people. It tells us in verse number 1 that she was of the daughters of the Philistines. Now it tells us there in the verses that God was working an occasion. There's things that come about in our life we do not understand, but God uses them to bring about certain events, certain changes. And so God is going to use the life of Samson to get into the Philistines because he's going to do a work there. But in that picture, it shows, number one, that she was the Philistine. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. Not only that, it tells us in verse number 3, he said, if thy brethren, all thy people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines. Not only was it just her, and by the way, notice her don't have a name. She's just called woman. It says that we are all sinners. We're all the enemies of God. And then it noticed that there was the problem. It said, is there not of thy brethren? Do you realize Jesus could have stayed in heaven, been worshipped by the angels, but it never had to deal with us? I asked this question the other night at the mission. It tells us there, this woman, but you find in the life of Samson, he always goes to the harlot. Now, biblical perspective, we know that a harlot, number one, is the old word for prostitute. But the word harlot, it also is a woman that runs an inn in her home, or a motel, a staying place. Rahab was an innkeeper. And so you see this picture here, but this woman, the first picture, she's the daughters of the Philistines. Now, we find that we build her character on what follows in the rest of Samson's life, because there's three different women in his life. So, here we've got a picture. And this is one of the brightest pictures for me. That Samson, one of the judges of Israel, left his home to go down to the place of captivity and fall in love with a woman that was the worst thing on the earth. And Jesus Christ loved us. And he left heaven. And he came to this rotten world. And he chose us. The harlots. You say, well, I'm not that bad. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life that you loved something else better than you did God? Or that your affections and your devotion was to something else different than God? If it is, guess what? We're harlots. We are those that are the pagans. And so you see her people. But then notice verse number 3. Down the last part of the verse, for time's sake, says, and Samson said unto his father, get her from me, for she pleaseth me well. She was pleasing. Get her from me. Now, as I've been reading through this and looking through it the last couple of days, Samson told his father and his mother, said, get her. She pleases me. She was chosen. Listen, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What does it say? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Remember what we said in verse 1 and 2? He went down and then he went up. You know, Genesis 1, God said, let us create man in our image. Us is who? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Elohim, the three great ones. Let us make man in our image. So Jesus knew who we were. Jesus was there in the garden. Then we find him back in heaven. And he says, I love them. They're rebellious. They're sinful. They've disobeyed. But I love them. And I chose them. I chose them. I run across something this morning. The word Timnath, the vineyards of Timnath, the word Timnath means an allotted portion. John 17:8, Jesus prayed and said, Father, I pray for those you have given me. You've given me my portion. They were chosen before the foundation of the world. And I've loved them. So here you begin to see the picture that Jesus loved us. And he gave himself. He came to the place of the curse to die on a cross for us. Now listen. Verse number 8. And after a time, he returned to take her. He made her a promise. Now, weddings in the Old Testament, you know, arranged by the families, it was all set forth, the time when the bridegroom could go get the bride and all of this. There's a gap here, but he said, and after a time, he returned to take her. No time frame is set. Remember what I said? We're just having tidbits. Jesus loved us, and he came and died for us. And he told us he's going to come back again. John 14, you know it. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself. He made her a promise. I'm going to come back. But we need to back up. It also tells us that in his downward path and before his return to get her, there's the third character. After time, he returned to take her. He turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. What lion? Well, let's back up. Verse number 5, the deadly lion. Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, came to the vineyard of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. There was a young lion. Now, this is one of my favorite questions. Is Satan a roaring lion? Is Satan a roaring lion? Brother Dewey says no. How many say no? How many say yes? 1 Peter 5:8 is for Satan as a roaring lion. He's an imposter. He's a deceiver. He's a trickster. What does a bully do? A bully makes lots of noise and lots of commotion, so you'll be afraid of them. They're terrified to death of you, so if they make enough fuss, then you're going to back off and leave them alone. And they, man, they're bad. You got a young lion. A young lion came. Verse number 6, they have the conflict. Samson fights him. And it says, he kills this young lion as he would have killed a kid. A young sheep, a young goat. Little, innocent, powerless. Samson takes this lion, he totally destroys him. And what does it say? He had nothing in his hand. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You know, Jesus fought with Satan from the day he was born till the day he arose. And it wasn't by the power of the hand, the flesh. It was a spiritual battle. Go back and you find that the Spirit of God was there in the death and the burial, the resurrection. You know, God is doing this. Jesus was sent by the will of the Father. And so he fights this lion and he destroys him. But then, won't you notice one more thing here? In verse number 8, it says, after a time he returned to take the woman. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. There's the carcass. Samson comes by. The bees have found a refuge in the carcass, and he reaches in, and there's honey. And he gets the honey and the honeycomb. Now, the honey is the sweetness. That's, if you want a sweetener, honey's the way to go. What is sweet about a dead carcass? I mean, if you're going down the road and there's a dead animal on the side of the road, and you know the bees is swarming around it, and the honey's, you're going to go over there and get you a handful of it? No, that's not on our to-do list, is it? Again, picture-wise, Jesus destroyed Satan, the young lion. What's the honey about it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ? That honey from that lion is the victory that we shall see when we arise in his likeness. See, when we read this, we read this from the perspective of man. But God takes your life and my life, and He takes the events in your life and He uses them so that someone looking at you can see His glory. Samson is a picture of Jesus leaving the portals of heaven, coming down to this cursed world where He is hated and betrayed, fighting the devil, winning him, and He comes back for us with the sweetness of honey in His hands. Now are you beginning to see Jesus with Samson? I want you to think about it, because this starts a chain of events that is going to happen for the primary part of the rest of Samson's life. What is coming up? We know he was a womanizer, if you want to call it that way. I think about looking at Samson. I see one that came and he loved us when we were unlovable. And he fought the devil for us. But now starts a chain of events of what you could call the violent part of Samson's life. Samson is going to fight from this moment till the day he dies. And that's important, because in that we see a character of Jesus that we miss so many times. Just remember, he loved us and he gave himself for us. And that's the seed for the life of Samson. Let's bow in a word of prayer.